How would you like to invest in interior design for higher property profits? Alisa Sparks will tell us how to do it. And what's so special about Alisa is she's the founder and CEO of Linden Creek, a luxury interior design and home staging franchise built around elevated living and meaningful design. And she also leads the Linden Creek Shop, an online destination for curated decor and furnishings, along with Arched, an inventory management and CRM platform designed to support the home staging and interior design community, with a background shaped in entrepreneurship, family life, and a love of travel and thoughtful interiors. Alisa brings a warm, a creative perspective to both her work and the communities she serves. So, Alisa, tell us about how can property investors leverage interior design to increase their return on investment?
Welcome to Awakened Titans Podcast with Lily Patrescu. Mind-blowing conversations with influential business titans sharing how you can manifest abundance, love, joy, success through quantum awakening, quantum manifestation, quantum healing, quantum miracles, exponential business growth, and innovative products and services.
Absolutely. That's a great question. You know, what's interesting when it comes to interior design is oftentimes people associate it with the space got prettier. You put pretty pillows in. That feels like an expense. But when it comes to properties, when it comes to people buying properties or renting properties, consumers do this from an emotional perspective, and there is nothing that pulls emotions more than creating a story or a beautiful space. And so what's interesting is we have found that when you create a beautiful space, when you're using paint and furnishings and decor in the right way, you actually see these really incredible ROIs. For example, just staging a home, we typically see a 1 to 5% ROI. Where houses are selling more than list price just because we've beautifully designed and furnished the space itself.
Wow. You know what? Being in the property space myself as well, I have noticed this exact same thing. And I'm wondering about what are some amazing little things that could add a tremendous value to a property's listing? In terms of like home staging, to make it sell fast, what are some tips and tricks you could give us? Give us your 10 commandments of where you would start and what kind of little things you would put in to embellish the properties for higher return on investment.
Absolutely. So first and foremost, when it comes to the design selections themselves, paint goes and works wonderfully for a couple of reasons. One, color is something that's very sensitive to people. One person might see purple and love purple. Another person might see purple and absolutely hate it. And so as bizarre as it may sound, when you remove most color from designs, it actually appeals to the majority of buyers, which allows you to kind of increase the valuation of your property. So we are firm believers in bringing in neutrals all over your walls and keeping it clean and simple. Some version of white is nice. We're trending more into these warmer tones now to give a little bit of that warmth. We've moved away from grays. Now we're into these warm tones, which is beautiful. But paint is a really great, quick and easy ROI on your investment property. Another big one, as silly as it sounds, is if you are living in your home, clean your home and declutter. Now that is something that doesn't cost any money. That is something that is really easy to do, but the ROI again on just stripping things down and keeping things clean and simple is incredible. And then if you really want to have a big bang for your buck, I always recommend actually moving out of the home and having the home professionally staged. And the biggest reason around that is when a home is empty, a buyer walks into the home and they notice there's a little nick on the floor. They notice, hey, you know, the registers didn't get cleaned perfectly, or that light fixture is a little bit outdated. But when the furniture comes into the home, they don't notice those imperfections. They start emotionally moving into the home. And so they're thinking, wow, look at that living room. I can only imagine what it's like on a Friday night when I snuggle on the couch with my kids and we're watching our favorite Christmas movie. Or they settle into the kitchen and now they're imagining what it's like to cook for a party that they're going to host. And so they start thinking about these emotional experiences and create memories in the home that they haven't even purchased. And that's where their focus and attention goes. And that's tends to be why that the value of the property increases and the price goes up. The other thing that I want to say that's important about staging and design is when a home is empty or a room is empty, it actually looks smaller, which you wouldn't think. You think like once I put furniture in, now the room looks smaller, but that's not the case. So often we furnish a space and the feedback we get from the real estate agent or from buyers is, wow, this room actually just got bigger. I had no idea I could fit a bed and nightstands and accent chairs and a dresser and a bench in this space. And so bringing in these furnishings to really showcase how you can function in a home is so essential for getting that top dollar.
Thank you. I've noticed, for example, for houses that I've looked at in order to rent them, I've noticed that the houses that were furnished with luxury furnishings and had, for example, gold cutlery and the plates on the table, and that's not what you would have if you went to a normal home, right? The houses that were professionally staged, even though, let's say, some rooms were too small for what I would have liked, I would be looking at that and thinking, oh my God, this is like a dream for me to live here. So I'm wondering, take us through room by room. Like, what would you have in, let's say, in a kitchen in order to elevate the perception of value for a prospective buyer of a property? So aside from colors that are relatively muted, what would you have in the kitchen to appeal to most buyers?
Yeah, absolutely. So when you think specifically about a kitchen, there are a couple of things we like to bring in. First, we love bringing in something green. And because the home is staged and you can't necessarily water plants once a week, sometimes those have to be artificial. But when you bring green into a home or some faux tree, artificial plants, whatever it may be, it actually signifies life and gives energy. And so psychologically, we get excited about that and we feel this connection. So we love bringing in some element of green. The other thing we really love to do and be intentional about, whether it's in a kitchen or it's anywhere else in the home, is not having everything feel brand new and like we just bought it out of a box store and put it into the home. We like it to feel collected because that's how people connect to a home. And so we love bringing in books. And so one of our favorite hacks, and this is something anybody can do anywhere, is we will hit up a thrift store in our area and buy as many hardcover books as possible. And we tend to stick with like the same color. So we'll do all white or all black, and we'll have a collection of them. And sometimes we'll place vintage cookbooks in a kitchen so that it tells a story of reminding these buyers, this is where you're going to cook. This is where you're going to try that new recipe or that family favorite that you've always had. So we're going to bring in some elements that are specific to really a kitchen space, but we don't want it to all feel kitcheny. And so we're also going to bring in elements into a kitchen that are going to have the fresh greenery, that are going to bring in vases, that are going to just appeal to the simplicity, but still be able to tell a story of the purpose for that room. The other thing we like to think about when it's a kitchen space specifically is how many people are going to live in this home and how many people actually need to fit their little butts on the kitchen island or around the dining table. And so a general rule of thumb is you take the number of bedrooms a house has, you add one, because generally the assumption is the primary bedroom sleeps two people, and you need to fit at least that many people in your dining room and at least that many people in your living room. And so we think about those sorts of elements as well when we're designing. Does our kitchen table fit at least five people for a four-bedroom house? If the answer is no, we better get creative because there might be five people living in that home and we need somewhere for them all to be able to eat. And so we balance both this functionality side with storytelling to really create something that's going to give the emotional connection.
Thank you. For large homes, I think you have higher potential for staging, but I'm wondering, what can someone do? What can a property investor do with a small kitchen to elevate its look so that it still looks appealing, even though it's really tiny in some cases?
Yeah, so tiny is not a bad thing. I think the biggest piece of it is don't over-decorate, don't overdo it. Keep things fairly simple. Maybe have something on your kitchen island if you've got a small island, and maybe one or two simple things set up on the kitchen countertops. Now, you mentioned like what do you do with this small kitchen? Let me share a fun story with you. A couple years ago, we landed this property. The agent called me. The house had been on the market for 6-7 months. And she said, Alisa, I think maybe I need staging. The house is empty. She's like, it's a great house. It's beautiful. But we have two fundamental problems. One, the kitchen is way too small for the home. And two, the backyard goes out to a busy road. And so people walk out there and they're turned off by the noise and the traffic. And she goes, I understand that like bringing a sofa into the living room does not actually fix this, but I don't know what else to do. And so I said, okay, let's stage the property because something really interesting happens. Every house has some negative side to it. But what happens is when you stage the property, you're highlighting all of the good things that the negative sort of gets overlooked. So we came in and we staged the property. And literally 3 days later, the home went under contract. And we laughed about it together because she said, you didn't make the kitchen any bigger or better. I said, no, we didn't. We put a few things in the kitchen and that was it. But what happened is they fell in love with the home when they entered the living room. They fell in love with the office space. They fell in love with the primary bedroom. That suddenly the smaller kitchen didn't matter quite so much. So the biggest thing that I would encourage, whether you're doing this massive luxury property or you're doing something that's small and this cute little investment property, is what is the biggest asset to the home? And draw attention through your furniture and through your decor to that asset so that that's what the buyer is thinking about when they're walking through. One of the other elements we really like to think about when we're telling that story is we think about how the home buyer is actually going to walk through the property. So they're going to walk in the front door, but from there, are they shifting off to the left to the dining room? Is there a natural flow? When they look into the living room, are their sight lines looking out to the back or are they blocked by a sofa? We never want to block these views, and we want to encourage our buyers to take the path that we want them to take. So if the kitchen is small and tiny, I would love for my buyers to see maybe 3 or 4 other rooms in the house before they get there. So how can we encourage that flow and that path so that they're directed into those directions?
Thank you. Tell us more about what did you add to the kitchen that made it so appealing to the buyers?
So in that instance, we added bar stools to the kitchen island so that we could really showcase the seating area. We placed large vase and bowl on the kitchen island with green sprigs to bring that green and that natural element. There was a window not too far away off the dining room, and so it played this nice little nod of green that brought your eye then out actually to the yard. So instead of just landing and stopping in the kitchen, the green then ties to the green outside and it kind of keeps your eye going through the kitchen and to continue forward. And then on the kitchen countertops, it was fairly dated. They were fairly dark in color. And so we brought in some lighter elements and accessories like coffee table books, picture frames, things like that, that lightened up the space instead of making it feel so heavy.
Thank you. What can property investors do to magnify the perceived value and the desirability of a master bedroom? What should be in there?
So with a primary bedroom, there are a couple of things that are really important. And these are lessons that I've learned the hard way. So I'll save you all a few steps. One is whenever possible, always use a king size bed. So there are some homes, especially smaller homes, where a king bed does not belong. You would think we really need to be putting a queen bed in here. But what studies have shown is that most people sleep in a king size bed. And so if you put a queen bed in there, even though that's the proper size for the room, buyers will walk in and go, that bed is too small. A king bed must not fit. And I sleep in a king bed. Therefore, this house won't work for me. And so it's really important to showcase how on earth you could fit a king size bed in a primary bedroom to make sure there's more than enough space. The other things you want to think about is let's make sure ideally that you've got 2 nightstands, one for each side of the bed with some lighting. Lighting is a crucial part of design because you don't want to just flip on the overhead lights, but you want to have some warmth and ambiance, especially in the bedroom. It can be a romantic space and you kind of want to create that. And so bringing in lamps on your nightstands or lamps on a dresser is great. The other thing to really The other question to answer in a primary bedroom is, where do I store my clothing? This is one of those things everybody thinks about when they walk into a bedroom. So is there a large enough closet where your things can be stored there? Or if not, where would I put my dresser? And is there enough space for a dresser? And if you're answering those key questions, then you're in a pretty good position. And then from there, if that bedroom is spacious enough, a lot of times we like to add a seating area. And so we'll tell a story around it. We'll place a lamp, maybe a little reading book, something like that on the end table to showcase this isn't just a bedroom. This is a space, mom, where you get to snuggle up and read your book at the end of the night with a blanket and your lamp and be cozy and be away from the family after a busy day. Or a spot, if there are a couple of chairs, for, you know, the husband and wife to get to have coffee together in the morning before they start their day. But showcasing the functionality of that space is what's really going to get people excited about buying that home.
Thank you. Tell me more about the box that tends to be in front of the bed, you know, in these like luxury homes. What's the purpose of the box? Is it just ornamental, or is it like a seating area?
Yeah, oftentimes it is really a seating area. So utilizing that as a seating area and answering that question is so key. And you know, it's interesting you said that. We walk through hundreds of homes every single year. And when I'm working with a new home stager and coaching and training them, sometimes we'll walk into a room together and we both look at each other and we scratch our heads and go, how on earth do you place your furniture in here? Or what is the purpose of this weird, unique, custom built feature that they put in here? And I always say, if I'm scratching my head going, what do I do in this room? Then every other buyer that's not a stager is going to be really scratching their head. And so the biggest role for us as stagers and designers is to walk into a space and go, is there something in here that doesn't make sense? Then let me answer that question and make it make sense before a buyer ever walks in. So they don't go, what is the purpose of that box? Why is that actually there?
Thank you. How can property investors elevate the look of their dresser, their closet, their space for clothes in a way that it looks like it can fit the kind of clothes the people that are buying might want to put there?
So one of my all-time favorite hacks with a closet, especially if it feels small, is oftentimes you can pick a couple pieces of actual clothing, steal them from your closet in the time being if you want to, if you're an investor, just to save some money. Keep them neutral. Again, light and airy works great because it takes up less visual space. So like whites and linens and beiges. And maybe hang three or four items and then take some nice velvet hangers and add three or four blank velvet hangers. And what this does is this signifies there's so much space in the closet that I have empty hangers and empty space. Now, we all know walking in logically, everybody's going to own more than three shirts. But subconsciously, what this tells us is that there is more than enough space in this closet for us to store everything. And when you leave open space on these racks and on these hangers, it actually signifies that there is plenty space for your clothing. And so that's one of our favorite ways to really showcase a closet if we feel like space is an issue, is to bring in a few of those little things, bring in some empty hangers, and it signifies that that storage space solution is not really there.
Thank you. How can property investors elevate the look of other bedrooms they have in their home, considering that the property investors may be buyers that may have children, or they may not, and they may want to just have the extra space for a lot of clothes, you know, if they're digital nomads, or if they have like a lifestyle without children, they have perhaps a lot of people coming over and staying over for the weekend. How can a property investor adapt to the potential wants and desires of other property investors, and how can they elevate those the look of the other bedrooms in the house?
Great question. So there's an exercise that we do every time we walk into a new property, and I highly recommend as an investor you're doing this as well, because it'll actually dictate a lot of your design selections and your finishes throughout the property too. And that's this. Before we, you know, turn the key and open up the front door, we pause at that front step and we look around and we pay attention to what's happening in our neighborhood. Typically, there are some people out going for a walk, grabbing the mail, whatever it may be, driving by, whatever it may be. And we pay attention to who those individuals are. Are they empty nesters? Are they young families with lots of little kids? Are they nomads where they are these career focused adult professionals that just value simplicity? What does that really look like? And you'll oftentimes find a general trend in the neighborhood. And what that does is that tells you probably somebody with that similar demographic is going to be buying this new property. And once you have that key information, we design all those secondary bedrooms around that key demographic. So if we find we're in a neighborhood with lots and lots of children, we're going to do children's bedrooms. We might put a bed in a bedroom and then a teepee in the corner to showcase this is for your sweet little child. And then hopefully when they're walking through the property and their six-year-old sees this cute little teepee and tent in the bedroom, they now fall in love. They get excited. They're playing in it. They're engaging into the space and it's feeling like home. Now, one of the other big key trends that we have seen really since COVID is this remote work and working from home. And so one thing we always want to think about is there a home office already in the home? And if there isn't a natural one, should one of these bedrooms convert to a home office? We find that the smallest bedroom in the house tends to work best for an office because it's going to feel potentially like a really cramped bedroom if you stage it like a bedroom. But if you do it as an office, it showcases just how you can utilize that space and have either a space for somebody to come work in the evenings when they come home from their professional office, or for somebody that is working from home, they have a dedicated space to be able to utilize that. And so when you're styling and staging these bedrooms, don't just think about beds, but also be thinking about that office space and how to utilize that from a functionality standpoint.
Thank you. Tell us how property investors can elevate the look of their bathrooms to ensure a fast selling of that property.
The best hack with bathrooms is to bring in spa-like towels. So go to your local Target or run to Amazon and buy a whole bunch of white towels that all match and are the same. Layer those on your towel bars and bring some nice little hand towels as well. Now that might seem like that's something really simple, but that light, white, lush, luxurious towel really tends to associate most people's brains to like a spa-like hotel or a spa experience. And that's what you want to create. So we start with the simple layers of towels. But then from there, we kind of ask the question of what other spa-like elements can we bring into a bathroom? Is it a candle that we maybe open up with a candle burner? Is it maybe some bath salts that can be brought into the bathroom to really showcase what that spa environment is like? But ideally within a bathroom, that's the place where somebody wants to go and rest and feel rejuvenated and excited. And so the more you can do to sort of associate that with a spa experience, the better it's going to be.
Thank you. Tell us how property investors can elevate the look of their entire home for Airbnb rentals. Because I think when you're renting, you need to be a bit more careful about what kind of furniture and what kind of things you include in the home, considering that renters may break stuff, they may not be as careful with certain things, and you need to buy basically tenant-proof stuff at the same time that looks classy. So let's go with, let's say, for a luxury Airbnb, what kind of things would you include to elevate the look of a luxury Airbnb?
So with a luxury Airbnb, the biggest thing that I would highlight is buy quality products. Now, sometimes it feels intuitive to say that out loud. And you're going, you know, this is an investment, so I want to keep my expenses and my cost of furniture down. But if you are buying flat packed dressers, for example, flat packed meaning they're that IKEA box where you've got 17,000 steps before you can get to the finished product and everything comes in a compressed box. The problem with things like that is they're easily jostled or wiggled and can easily break. And so you end up spending more money fixing and replacing and paying somebody to fix and replace than you do actually utilizing the pieces. The other reason I say invest in quality products and furniture is because the furniture is going to signify whether a space is luxury or not before the actual home is. So it might be interesting to hear that and think about that. But what I'm sitting on, whether it's my chair or a sofa, the dining table that I touch and feel, those are textures that I'm continually exploring and part of when I'm staying at the Airbnb. And so that is the first thing I'm going to think about when I associate something with luxury or something that might be cheaper quality. And so you want to make sure that all of the materials that somebody's interacting with are real wood, are solid, feel comfortable. They don't feel cheap. Now, when it comes to Airbnbs in general, I have two really great hacks that will save you lots of money when you think about it from this approach. Number one is bring in lots of black furniture. And I'm not saying like make it too dark or things like that. But when you're thinking about nightstands or end tables or potentially dressers or even dining tables, where you can sprinkle in black pieces of furniture. And the reason I say that is real life happens. When people are staying in an Airbnb, they don't care much about the condition of the furniture. They're living their best life and they're on vacation or whatever it may be. And so when you use a black piece, if it gets scratched or scuffed or dented, a black permanent marker is a really quick and easy way to fix a piece of furniture and give it life. And so thinking about materials that are easy to fix and repair, or if you're going to bring in wood pieces, choosing wood pieces that are naturally distressed looking. So if it gets one more ding, it looks like it's actually part of the piece. Those are the sort of strategies you want to think about from a durability standpoint. The other recommendation I will say with anything when it comes to an Airbnb is there's this really great product for boats. It's a marine polyurethane, and it actually is made to extend the life of materials or surfaces. Layering a marine grade polyurethane on top of any of your hard surfaces or coffee tables or end tables or even dining tables is a really great way to prevent those cup rings that happen. So even if you provide coasters in your home, they may not be using them. And so to avoid getting the damage and the stains on your wood materials, layering that polyurethane is just like an extra set of protection so that you don't have to replace your furniture nearly as often. Because it's not about the initial cost of the furniture. It's that recurring cost of dealing with damages and repairs that you want to avoid to optimize your investment.
Thank you. I generally tend to not like black furniture. And in fact, when I was renting a property, there was a lot of black furniture and the landlord was unable to remove it. So I actually removed it and put in storage. And I replaced everything with white glossy furniture. But I am a very good renter, you know, like I really take care of the property as if it was mine. And really, I'm very, very specific, you know, very OCD kind of thing. But most renters are not. And I'm wondering about, for example, when you put black furniture, what I find is that the space may look smaller. And also, one thing that I've noticed as well, for the kitchen, what kind of pattern do you recommend for the flooring? Because I have never found something that is tenant-proof where you can come in and let's say you clean it now and 5 minutes later, it still looks clean. Tell us what kind of patterns do you feel work in terms of renting to, let's say, regular tenants, not luxury tenants, for example.
Absolutely. So on your black furniture piece, I want to give you like a part B option to play with. If you're feeling like the black is making a space feel too dark and isn't the look you want, white is the next best alternative before going to the wood grains. And touching up white, you actually use white nail polish, and that will repair any specs, imperfections, things like that happen. So it takes a little bit more time. The nail polish is a little trickier to use, but it's also a really another really great hack that prevents you from bringing in those wood materials that tend to really show the damage. Now, in terms of your kitchen floors, a luxury vinyl tile or luxury vinyl plank tends to hold up very well. The vinyl is actually a material that's waterproof. And so you don't have to worry about spills that can happen in a kitchen or damage like that. Depending on where you are in geographically, tile is also a very common trend in the kitchen. So if you're in some of these southern states in the US, for example, like Florida, you're going to see a lot of tile, and that's very common. The durability in tile is fantastic as long as you don't drop something on it and crack a tile. And then it's able to stay really clean. But one of the reasons I love LVT or LVP luxury vinyl planks is because they oftentimes look like wood. So they have these wood grains, this variation in their colors and pattern that even if the floors do get dirty, it doesn't show the dirt on the floors. And so there's some forgivability in that with general maintenance as well.
Thank you. Tell us about how can property investors elevate the look of their, you can say, not luxury properties, but you can say average looking properties that they want to rent for top dollar to You can say cleaners, waiters, people who work in restaurants, you know, people who would perhaps not really look after the property once they're in. What kind of things can you do to elevate the entire property? Just take us through some little elements that could help to elevate the look without investing too much in it.
Yeah, I'm going to give you three answers of some of my favorite really cost-effective solutions that have a big bang for the buck. So we talked about already paint, the power of paint, doing neutrals, white walls. If you want to make a bold statement and make your property be something that's different and special, paint is also a really great way to do that. So maybe it's making a bold statement in a powder bathroom and painting the walls a navy or brown as a hot new color, doing something that makes it really fun and exciting, but it didn't cost any more than any other color of paint. Or maybe in the dining room, it's a focal wall that can be a unique color, or the whole room can be a unique color. So that's something easy to do. The other thing is paint also works well on cabinets. So if you're buying a property that maybe has slightly dated bathroom or kitchen cabinets, but they're in fine condition and you know they're going to just take more wear and tear, putting paint over those finishes is something that can extend the life of that. And then when the tenant moves out, let's say there are scuffs and scratches, it's easy for you to come back through, touch up paint, and give it fresh life once again. But that'll really transform a space. So if you're in a kitchen that maybe has really dark cabinets, painting those cabinets a light neutral gray or beige or white or whatever the color may be is going to completely transform the kitchen for just a couple $1,000s. The other recommendations I would have is swapping out your hardware, like your kitchen knobs and pulls and your bathroom knobs and pulls. So taking whatever was there before that was a little bit dated, jump on Amazon.com or run to your local Lowe's or Home Depot and grab some new knobs. Maybe they're going to be brass. Maybe they have a little bit of interest, but swapping those out is something that is really cost effective. It's not going to cost much, but really going to transform your space. And then the final recommendation I would say is lighting makes a huge difference in a property. We always say it's like the jewelry that goes on an outfit. It's like the thing that either is going to make or break the house and showcase how much money you actually put into investing into the property. And so if you want to break your budget on the investment side of things, spend your money on lighting, save in some other finishes. Even like plumbing is a great way to save, scale back a little bit, but splurge on your light fixture. And so pick maybe one or two key light fixtures in that home. Maybe it's the dining room chandelier and somewhere in the kitchen. Get a light fixture that really feels and looks beautiful. You can get knockoff.
Can't hear. It froze. I can't hear. Okay, it's back now. Okay, you can continue. You can get knockoffs.
You can get knockoffs on Amazon and find some really beautiful, similar light fixtures to the really elevated ones you see for a fraction of the price.
Thank you. Tell me about how property investors who are renting affordable accommodation can add fun elements to their properties to make their properties more desirable. Aside from what you said, is there anything else that could make the interiors look fun to live in?
Yes, there are two other fun little hacks outside of just paint and hardware. One of them is wallpaper. And you don't have to go all in and invest in a wallpaper installer and high-end expensive wallpaper. There are even stick and peel options if you're feeling like a DIY day, but putting wallpaper in a focal space, maybe it's behind the primary bed in a bedroom to really showcase something unique. Maybe it's in that powder bathroom again to make a really bold statement. Maybe there's a kitchen wall that's a feature. That's a great way to add interest. If you choose to do the stick and peel option, it can be a little bit trickier for installation, but in 5 years, when that dates itself, you take it down and you move on, and it was not a big cost, but it had a really big impact. The other thing is if you want something even more permanent, we love doing wall trim details. So you can purchase 1x4s or 1x3s from your local hardware store and layer them in a diagonal pattern. You can go vertical, horizontal, you name it. Create some really unique pattern with your wood, adhere it to the walls, and then paint everything one finished color. and it makes this bold custom statement, but the cost is so minimal compared to the impact. And so whether you're doing a cost-effective home or honestly even a luxury home, when we're in multi-million dollar properties and the builder says, hey, I've got a tight budget, but I need to make an impact, our go-to is to say, bring in your trim guy and let's do a wall treatment in the dining room because it's going to make such a statement and the cost is so minimal for the result you see.
Thank you. Tell us about your franchise where people can invest in learning about how to do interior design and how they can also profit from doing this kind of business to other property investors.
Absolutely. So my background is actually not in interior design. I had a corporate background in finance and actually spent nearly a decade in military finance. And I had this belief during that time that because I didn't have the design degree, I could never be an interior designer. But like so many real estate investors, I was spending my time too, flipping houses, thinking about renovations, building things, getting my hands dirty and full of all of the fun. And through that, decided to start Linen Creek, which was focusing primarily on home staging. Along the way, we grew into both a home staging and interior design franchise. And what I realized about 5 years into that business is there were a whole lot of other people out there that were just like me that had this love for design, that loved business, but they just didn't know how to get started into an industry they knew nothing about. And so we started the franchise for Linden Creek that allows other individuals that are like-minded that are excited to start and build a business that have this love and passion for design to really have the tools and the resources that they need to think about the logistics behind the scenes of how to even build a business, how to market to your area, how to speak, but also the education around design. How do you create these beautiful spaces? What frameworks are going to make your clients successful? So if you're interested in finding out more, you can check us out at linden-creek.com/franchise for more details.
Thank you. Tell us, what are the biggest mistakes in interior designs you've seen property investors make when trying to sell or rent off their property?
That is a great question. This is going to sound like such a silly one, but I will tell you the number of times we've walked into a property and outlet placement was incorrect is extraordinary. So one of my biggest cautions is when you are placing outlets or designing or reworking electrical at any capacity, make sure you have enough outlets in a room and make sure the outlets are well-placed, especially in a bathroom. So make sure that's not an oversight. You're thinking about where your mirrors are, where your light fixtures are, but that your outlets are conveniently near your countertops so that when you think about a woman that's going to curl her hair, that there's functionality that's there that's going to work well. So that is one mistake. The other mistake that I have seen is they have not taken the time to really think through their finishes cohesively. We'll find investors that just go, hey, that's a light fixture that's on sale and it's cheap. But because they bought the $40 light fixture instead of maybe splurging and buying one for $75 that had a much bigger statement, they really missed the impact that they could have had. So making sure as an investor that we don't want you to blow your budget. We want this to be the game of ROI where you're maximizing your dollar, but you are going to get your biggest ROI on both paint selections and light fixtures. And so make sure you're setting aside the budget for good quality light fixtures, because that is going to showcase the value of your home. And that's another big mistake that unfortunately we see too often with investors.
Thank you. I think another big mistake that property investors make when trying to sell or rent out their property is not hiring an interior designer, which I never have. So tell us about that.
Yes, absolutely. One of the things that we see is there's a DIY version of house flipping or renovating that sometimes happens because they want to save money. A designer feels expensive. But one thing I will caution is if you don't have the trained eye or the expertise around it, consider investing the money in a designer, because you're not paying them to pick out paint colors. You're paying them for their expertise, which is going to prevent you from making costly mistakes in the future. As a designer, it is our job to not just pick out pretty things, but to think about your best ROI. So we really strategize with investors when we think about their bathroom, for example. We're going to do the more cost-effective tile on the shower walls and the more expensive one on the floor, because you're going to get more bang for your buck because the floor is such a smaller space. So we really think through these elements of here's where you should splurge, here's where you should save, because we don't want you making choices just thinking this is probably an okay option and I hope it all works together. But when you're thinking about so many details and elements that all play together, bringing in somebody that has the expertise that'll prevent you from making mistakes, but it'll also save you money and think about ROI in every decision they make is going to really amplify your profits.
Thank you. Tell us about the home staging process. How does it work? Imagine I want to sell my property. Last thing I want to have is my home full of stuff that then perhaps the buyer doesn't want. Is the idea that you stage the house with the can be returned? And is it almost like a rental of that furniture and furnishings? Is that how it works? Or is it that the seller of the property invests in furniture and furnishings that they have to keep and find out a way to get rid of it at the end of the actual sale of the property?
Yeah. So what's exciting is home staging really is a rental option. So you don't have to worry about the hassle of buying and owning and investing in furniture. We own warehouses full of furnishings. And so we go through the inventory that we have. We pick and choose the pieces that are going to highlight your property, that are going to make sense for the demographic, like we talked about. And so typically the turnaround time can be very quick, a week, sometimes shorter, sometimes more, depending on timelines. But we'll walk your property, we'll do our analysis, who's going to be living in this space, how do we showcase it best, what are the best features, what are the worst features in the home, and then we come back and we select the furnishings and the art and the decor and the rugs that are going to amplify your home and tell its best story. We come in and we'll run that installation. Typically, it's done in about a half a day. So that afternoon, your photographer can come in, photograph the property, and you can get this live on MLS or get the rental photos or Airbnb photos set up, whatever it may be. And then when your home goes under contract, we come in, we take those furnishings right back out, and you don't have to worry about any of the hassle of the furnishings or the move.
Thank you. Tell us where entrepreneurs can connect with you.
You can connect with us at Linden Creek. Our website is linden-creek.com, or you can always find me on LinkedIn. I love being active on there. So Alisa Sparks is my name. The handle is Alisa Sparks LC.
Thank you.
Follow us for more interviews with world's most influential business titans, providing you with the insights to awaken to your full potential so you can get paid to be yourself, find true happiness, and manifest anything you desire.